This is a Pinball News production.
Whatever you say, Joe, I am going to speak very little because you've heard me speak too much this weekend. Or I felt like I spoke too much this weekend. I am saddened that I was going to bring back for a second appearance Mindy the Kissing Monkey, but she's neither available last night nor tonight, so we're upset with that. I'm going to chat for 1 second, turn it to Joe, and then we'll have a program for you. I actually want to do thank yous. I want to thank Rob. I want to thank Mike for having us and letting us celebrate this weekend and all of their family, and also your puppy's always very cute. Well, a substitute for Mindy the Kissing Monkey. So I thank you all very much. Thank you, Bridget. Thank you all very much for making this weekend available for all of you and especially for us to celebrate our 30th year. My God, there's a lot of blue shirts out there. And so therefore I need to thank Joe Kapow. George and Lyman, who's wandered somewhere, for the great game that they and all of their work co-workers, the great game Batman that they've given to us all. So I thank them very much for that. All of our staff that worked very hard. And this is, I'd like to thank Jody Dankberg, who put together a wonderful party for us last night, did a lot of work, even got the fishbowl and the balls with help from Jared over here. These guys have done an incredible, and wrangling the actor, Adam West, for you all. They did an incredible job putting together an awful lot of stuff. I guess we're really, you know, we said that we'd be an event, everything pinball, including events, and obviously, they can do events, and they can do a heck of a job at events. 30 years ago, Joe, Shelley, and I, in the basement of my townhouse, started this, and everybody said, why another pinball company? Who needs another pinball company? But they're gone, and a lot of people work very hard for us to be here, and you all have supported us, so from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you very, very much. Appreciate it.
Or as Gary would say, from my heart of hearts, when he knows there's something that's impossible to do, but it still needs to get done. So I'm going to give you some numbers tonight. I thought, you know, we've been talking a lot, and we talked a lot last night. So I want to give you some stats, some statistics, some stats. So the first stat I have, it is 3-1, top of the six Cubs. Stat one. A stat, I've started four companies, Logical Highs, Daddy E, Spooky Cool, and Kapow. It took 3 years or 30 years to get the Batman brand, depending on how long you think about it. We wanted to do this many, many years ago. I did the Keaton game, but it wasn't until about 3 years ago when we created the slot machine that all the assets finally got under one roof, and then it took a long time to get Warner Brothers to say yes to do the product. So by the numbers, the first artist I ever worked with on a pinball is Connie Mitchell. That was the Defender pinball, so that's number one. Chris, who did the Batman game, this is his first pinball. So, and I'm sure more to come. And Jerry, I think it's your second full game from a sound standpoint. Where's Jerry? He's right there. So there's some numbers. Tonight we have two inductees to the Pinball Hall of Fame. I heard this weekend, this is the brand I've always wanted. I was going to make my own version of this brand at least 300 times. We gave away, at the factory tour, 400 Batman Kapow hats. I had 13 irate phone calls for Mike about you can't do the pizza in the room you want to do it in. But Mike was right, so I give him credit for that. We served 1,000 slices of pizza on Thursday evening. You ate 1,000 slices of pizza. We served this evening 200 of the Joker straw drinks that you all enjoyed. We gave away 150 pounds of candy this weekend. Jerry, thanks for helping me go to Target and carry it all. We gave away 1,000 bat koozies. If we see one on eBay, there will be 999 left as a collectible. We gave away 1,000 bat bombs, 1,000 bat keychains. There are bat keychains left for the SLE editions, correct? That George will be signing. Sorry, George. Ernie, we had 650 people at last night's party. Good job, Jody. Ernie signed 650 autographs for Ghostbusters last night. Adam West signed over 500 special collectible cards for the first run of the Batman games on Friday. If anybody saw him sort of like this, you will know why. Over 500 Batman cards were signed by George and Chris and me and others today in the autograph session. At the Batman autograph session, you consumed 300 sodas, 10 cheese plates, and 10 veggie plates. The meet and greet, 225 people met Adam West on Friday and had their picture taken with Adam. Almost killed him. Samsung recalled 2.5 million Galaxy 7 Notes for $5.3 billion. We took over, we had over 2,500 answers for our survey cards as 600 people participated, making suggestions on what the next Kapow Stern title may be. You will see in the future, but it is not Lassie. Jerry recorded 80 custom answering machine messages by Adam West on Friday. If you have an SLE, you will have a custom Adam West answering machine message. And without, you know, where's Lyman? Somewhere. There will be a special feature in your game that may say something about your name in the bat phone. We gave away 70 Kapow jackets. Ed Robertson sang 12 songs last night. The girl at one time put 6 needles in her face. Gary's hair was attacked by a balloon for 3 minutes. We discussed the death of Mindy the monkey 6 times. We gave away, including the people that work in our factory, 600 of the Batman shirts you are now wearing. There are some in the back of the room. We're not intending to carry any of them home, so just take them if you please. We made 144 henchmen and goon shirts. We were asked 4,000 times if we could play Batman. 24 people said they should have tried to get an SLE, and they're mad at themselves for not getting an SLE. We gave away over $1,000 of pre-signature Batman merchandise, and if you want to add a multiplier of 10, we gave away $10,000 of signed Adam West autographed material tonight. We had over 200 applications for 80 SLE games. I'm sorry to the people that did not get them, but thank you for applying. If you have one and you don't intend to get it, there are people behind you that will be happy to take it. All LE games are spoken for, and almost all premium games are spoken for this year. It is truly a very limited product. Jerry tells me he has over 1,000 unique speech calls between Batman and Robin and the others in the game. Add all of that up between October 1986 and 2016, all of this adds up to 30 years of being in business at Stern Pinball. So I want to thank you all. It was fun to kind of jump back in the business as Kapow, and I hope you all enjoyed the special things that we did. My son David is here, and it was fun to have him participate in the business today. A few people asked me, where did Kapow come from? Actually, my wife came up from it with the name. Eugene's here. He made it. Thank you, Eugene. An amazing roast to Gary last night. Gary's shaft is still broken. And Kapow is just a little trivia thing. The first two and last two letters of Kapow are the first two and last two letters of my last name. So that's how sort of that kind of happened. So thank you very much. Thank you for supporting Batman. This has really been the game I have always wanted in my game room. And it's really funny. A lot of you also told me that same thing this weekend. It was the game you wanted, the game you wanted to make. You were going to make your own version of it. Never happened. And I'm really grateful to my friends at Warner Brothers that took a little arm twisting, but we were able to get them to agree to let us do the game. Thanks to everybody at Stern, Shelley, Jack of all trades since day one, our Jote, and everybody else that's worked on the game. Craig, thank you for working with Chris and everybody and going that extra mile to make sure. And Mark, the game was so incredible and fantastic. Eugene came over and gave some stuff. Victor worked on the display system. Jody, big cheer for Jody, because all this stuff, it was like, I need this, I need that, and Jody's like, I know where to go. So Jody, thank you very much for a great weekend. Dave's not here. He's getting drunk at some college game, but thank you very much, Dave. Don Marshall, happy to have you here, because we worked on a lot of products too, and a special night for you as well, I have a feeling, this evening. And Oren, thank you for coming in and working the booth when we weren't there, and also participating in the surveys. And Oren, yes, Oren took over for the photographer, because we would have been there for 20 hours and Adam was getting really tired. You know, it was amazing the amount of stuff. I mean, Adam signed stuff for these games for almost 4 hours at Stern on Friday morning. And we have great provenance of everybody, watching him do it. So we have a little video that we put together. We thought it might be a little fun just to give you a little feel about how excited everybody has been about Batman. If you don't have a Batman and you want a Batman, you better talk to Gary or your sales guys, because if not, you're not getting a Batman. They're not going to be that many. It will be a game that you will never see for sale anywhere. So, you ready? Let's roll it.
Adam West here, a classic Batman. Get the ultimate in protection for your collection. Batman 66 Pinball from Stern Pinball.
Woo! We have, we'll post them on our website, all the different things that people sent in. It was a lot of fun, a lot of creativity. All of you that went to the extra mile, we hope you got your game, and it's a lot of fun. I also want to call out one other person here. Lonnie Ropp, stand up real quick, would you? Lonnie's here. Lonnie was the very first programmer of our very first game, Laser War. And he was also the very first programmer we ever hired. And he's still at it and still doing it all these years later. Lon Ola. And the only game he would never program was Playboy. He wouldn't do it.
He did.
Ha! I stand corrected. He wouldn't do my version of it because mine was more pornographic.
But we needed it. We split the display work, so I did all the digital.
All right. Well, look, I'm going to turn it over to Oren Day. Oren was one of our great employees and was here during our Dot Matrix time and, you know, during our Data East time and transition to Sega. Oren has a memory like an elephant. His speech scares the living heck out of me because I have no idea what he's going to do. And Shellberg's been going through his archives looking for pictures. It could be really scary. So I'm going to go back down. I really want to watch this. And, please be kind. And thank you all again for supporting Stern and Kapow. It's been a great weekend for me and for Gary and all the our few Kapow employees and all of our Stern employees. And I can't wait for you all to get your Batman games. And I love the heck out of him because it's just the coolest game ever. And Chris, thanks for just great art. Jerry, thanks for great sound. Lyman, thanks for great rules. I can't wait to play them all. So thank you.
All righty. So I'm really glad to, pleased to be here. I'm Oren Day. I worked for Data East, for Sega, for Stern. And if you look me up on Jay's wonderful IPDB, I'm delighted to say that the message comes up, too many matches to display all individual records. Click on a game name to display it. So I had a great career working for Joe, for Gary, for Lonnie, with a lot of friends, and we're going to look back at that time just briefly here. I know that I have been where you are, waiting for the banquet to be over, so I am not going to talk forever, but I'm going to make it interesting.
How many years?
Well, I had 6 years in place, and then kept on coming back. Came back for occasional games, and I'm sort of going to go down the list and tell you some interesting stories of what went on. But first I'm going to tell you about the beginning, and this is sort of a flashback picture. This is a picture we took at Expo in 2006 with me and Joe and Lyman. So the time that I started with Data East was a time when the internet was just really becoming active as far as interaction between designers and programmers and people like you guys that just love pinball. And the Rec Games Pinball News Group came along, and you know, people liked Data East, people didn't like Data East, everybody had an opinion. And you know, today we have Twitter, and you can talk to athletes and entertainers and get right to them. Didn't used to be that way. Well, it was that way with pinball, because people on the net would say things, and Joe and Lonnie would be on there and be listening. And through that and through his excellence, they found Lyman. And Lyman came in and did a bang-up job as a programmer. And when it was time to expand the software team, Joe and Lonnie said, well, let's go and look at some of these other guys. So if Lyman hadn't done well, I wouldn't have been there. Kevin Martin wouldn't have been there. Brian Rudolph wouldn't have been there. And so I just really owe a great debt to Lyman for coming in and being outstanding and paving the way for the rest of us to come in. So the story about how I was hired by Joe is very interesting, that in the time of when Tommy was being prototyped, they were taking it on the road. They went down to Dallas to the Hard Rock Cafe. They were doing a big opening for Tommy Off-Broadway, because Dallas was the first city where it opened. So they needed a pinball player to show up in Dallas and come and demo this game to all the, you know, all the people that showed up there. And Lyman was going to Spain to a show. So they're like, well, we don't have Lyman. Who are we going to get? And so they put out a call basically to the internet, you know, who can show up? And I'm like, well, you know, I live in D.C., but I've got a business trip to Birmingham. I was working for NASA. I went down to Huntsville to work with some guys on some software for astrophysics, you know, Big Bang Theory stuff, just a lot of fun. But so I said, yeah, you know, it's only 600 miles from Huntsville to Dallas, so maybe I'll just drive down and stay with a friend and do this for these guys. So show up there, and they've got, you know, my Laser War silver jacket and all this stuff, and they're so welcoming. And, you know, flip that Tommy prototype. That was the old one with the six pop bumpers and the backwards ramps and, like, the light blue back glass. I don't know if you've seen it. I know Mike has one of them. Well, Mike actually had six of them, but now somebody else has five of them. So did that and, you know, had a great time doing it, helped out, got to know all these guys. You know, we had some escapades that that night, had some fun, and ended up getting my car, driving home, and, you know, thank gosh, it's great. So came to Expo, and I brought my resume, and I said, hey, guys, you know, if you ever start hiring, you know, give me a call. And a month later, they did, and, boy, it was a whirlwind ever since. And, you know, to talk about my interview, I interviewed on a Thursday or a Friday. It was like the weekend before Thanksgiving. And they're like, we want you to come in because we're going to be doing a design meeting for Guns N' Roses. So, you know, get ahead, you know, you haven't left your old job, but get a head start. So if you want to advance the next slide here. Oops, let's go one more. Let's skip that one. We're not going to. Whoa, we got a upside down Jim Shelberg picture here. One more. So there's good old Slash. And show up, and it's like Saturday. They come to the front and let me in after I ring the doorbell. It was 1990 Janus, the old factory. And they're like, well, hey, we need some help. We need you to go get some pizza and some Jack Daniels. So they call in this pizza order. I drive down the street, liquor store, get the Jack Daniels, get the pizza, go upstairs. And they're up in this conference room. It's Borgie and Lyman and Slash. And Joe's in there, and, you know, it's like, gosh, you know, I don't think I've ever brought liquor to a job before, and certainly not on my first day. But, you know, Slash gets going on that, and the smoke is so bad in that room that Joe comes back, and he's wearing a World War II gas mask. He walks in, you know, and people finally put it out. But, you know, we work with Slash, we work on that game, and, you know, it was just the gateway to a bunch of terrific stuff that Gary took really good care of us. That I show up my first week, it's like before Christmas. Friday is the Christmas party. They have sumo suits, they have a hypnotist, and they have so much booze that everybody gets a hotel room. So it was just a great thing, and you know, it was great with that and on. And Guns N' Roses ended up being the first game that I did dots for. I had a lot of help from John Carpenter. And from Lyman, who did the wonderful video mode for that, the video mode where you run over little men that are walking. And Horiguchi got us to put in a version of it also where you got a perfect score if you didn't run anybody over. And Lyman was able to do that. And we used that video mode in two more games. So it was just wonderful. But he helped me through that. Lyman was going to do Guns N' Roses, but he ended up going on to Maverick to do the new display system, the big display that we used on four games. And I think it's just wonderful that Lyman did that, and now he's coming back and doing the big display on the big LCD display on Batman 2. So it's just wonderful that, once again, Lyman's taken us to the next step in the industry with games. So let's go next slide. Whoa. So Frankenstein was the next game up after Maverick. I got to work with that was the first game I got to work with Neil Falconer on, and also Paul Ferris's wonderful artwork. We had a great story about that game that we had Frankenstein who catches the ball and goes like this. It's like, ugh. It's like Lonnie takes a look at that. He's like, oh, Frankenstein throws balls like a girl. And we thought that was true, and we played with that. We played with that white wood. You know, got the game ready, was all ready to go to the show, and then somebody had the idea to put the glass on. And those balls hit that glass so hard that we had to change the pulse, redesign the mechanism, you know, looked like he was throwing the ball like a girl, but Frankenstein, man, you know, Dadies, Flippers, Frankenstein, they were strong. So we did Frankenstein. That was my first game on the big display. We had a great time with that. We had Fred Young, who did a lot of the sound, a lot of the speech. That was the first game I worked with Fred on, and he did a fantastic job. Oh, yeah, Baywatch. So we got Yasmin Bleeth, and, you know, she was so pleased with the art package on that game. She's like, you guys made me look great. But Baywatch was a great game. We pushed that big display to the limit. Had a lot of fun. We redesigned our flippers after that game because you couldn't make the left ramp. You know, so something else good came out of it other than us just having a lot of fun with that theme. So one interesting thing that happened in Baywatch that showed that we were such a family. So we came with that show. We spent a lot of time. It was we're out in Reno. We're staying at the Reno Hilton. We did a lot of dinners. And we're talking about the next game, which is going to be Apollo 13. I was talking to John Borg and Joe. We're at dinner. just having a good time, and I said, you know, John, do you still have that mechanism from Guns N' Roses? Because not a lot of people know this, but Guns N' Roses was originally supposed to be a 12-ball game. Six balls in the bottom, six balls at the top. That lock was supposed to get the band members on stage, kick the ball up, and it'd stay up there, and you're going to release six balls all at once into the pop bumpers and then kick six more out. But we didn't do it. We couldn't afford it. I said to John, you know, we're doing a game with 13 in the title. That could be unlucky. But you still have that trough up there? You think we could do 13 balls? And Joe hears is like, 13 balls? Oh, my God! We could be the first ones to do that. So out at that Reno show, there's where he had Apollo 13. If you want to do the next slide. Oops. Nope. Sorry. Uh-oh, that's the Joker. That's me. That's Starship Troopers. Uh-oh, there's the brain bug. He's thinking of me back when I had a beard. Let's go one more. There's the Starfish Troopers. So here we have Rob Hurtado and Neil Falconer. Independence Day was the first game I worked on with Rob. Worked on many, many, many games with Neil. Independence Day was really one of the first set when I got into programming display on four games a year. It was a great schedule because Lonnie would work on a game for 6 months and I'd come in the last 3 months and do dots. Neil would work on a game for 6 months, come in and do dots on that, and then we'd keep on, you know, sort of rinse, lather, repeat. So got into a mode where I was doing four games a year and just a lot of fun. Let's go next. So there's the Apollo 13 photo. So this was great. This is Apollo 13, and we've got pretty much the whole gang here. We got me at the right side there, finally clean. So talk about the separation between Kevin Bacon. You can play that. You can play it with Lonnie. You can play it with me. You can play it with Joe. You can play it with Borgie, and you can play it with Brian Schmidt. And the interesting thing is that Gary Sinise took that photo, because he was there doing speech for us, too. So we didn't have one with Gary, but it was just wonderful being able to do those games and meet those guys. They were so cool, so accommodating, such pros. And we know that all those guys still have games, still have this game in their house, including Tom Hanks, even though he didn't agree to be on the game. So there's me and Lonnie working on Twister. That was a wonderful game. A lot of fun with that. Let's go next. So there's me with Borg and Mini Viper. Don't know if a lot of people are familiar with that game, but I got to take the code for Twister and program that in 3 weeks for a show. Put it on test. We wanted to see, can we make the game that's the size of a wood rail so the bars that don't have room for a big game can fit it in? We could fit it into a bar. It kind of made money, but everybody said, nah, we'll just haul around the big games. So we did that. It was a one-of-a-kind. It's out in Europe now, but it's a great chance to work with John on a special project. Let's go next. Okay. So there's a great story. This is probably the best Joe and Gary story about the interactions between Joe and Gary in the workplace. So we did a little game called Cut the Cheese, where you roll the coin into a toilet where the lid went up and down. Gary's like, you can't make a game called Cut the Cheese. There's no way. We took it to the show and it did well. And Joe said, well, you think you're like Cut the Cheese? We're going to make a game called Whack Your Cock. And he was laughing about it. We're at Sorrento's restaurant. And he calls back and he says, calls Kurt Anderson, who's one of our artists, I want you to draw the Whack Your Cock game and fax it to Gary. So he does it before we get back from lunch. We're in Joe's car. I think we're probably in his Corvette because his NSX had burned through all the tires by then. And I said, you know, Joe, if we want to make that game and call it Whack-a-Doodle-Doo, I think we can do it. And we came out with that game. That's the header from it. But we actually got chickens cut off their heads. These are toy chickens with feathers on them. Put them on a stick You'd bang on the center of a fried egg, and the head would go pop up. It was a novelty game. I think we made about 500. And if you go to Cedar Point, it's still there. The rest have been parted out because you guys want all of those White Star boards to fix other games. So, but it was a great experience, and it really sort of showed Joe's sense of humor and how we could just be BSing around and come up with a game that would end up going to a show, going to locations, make people money, and make people happy. It wasn't just novelty games like that. It was pinball. So let's go next. So there's a shot of Mini Viper. We can blow past that. You guys have all seen that. There's been 18 seminars here on that in the last 10 years, probably. Yeah, so there's me and Lonnie with Space Jam. We had a great time with this game, except for when we delivered it to Michael Jordan's house. Because in bringing that in, we had to bring a 10-foot metal Papa Shot out down his marble spiral staircase in sock feet because we couldn't wear shoes in his house. And that was just great. But Michael was very happy to get that game. And, you know, that was another game I worked on with Lonnie. We just had such a great relationship. Could work on anything. You know, there were only a few times when Joe would come into Lonnie's office and say, "Lonnie, here's my vision." He'd, like, write all this stuff on the board. Lonnie would take a look at it. He'd erase the whole board. He'd say, "Your vision sucks," on the whiteboard. And he would get in his car and drive home. That only happened about twice. But, you know, we fought about stuff, but we fought about stuff because we cared about it. That there's nothing worse than a workplace where somebody doesn't care. And, you know, we knew that we had a whole factory full of people that were depending on us to get it right, get it done on time. We had distributors that were out there that didn't want us to make a piece of crap that they couldn't sell. And we had operators that didn't want to buy something that wasn't fun and didn't make money. And, you know, on the back end of those operators is all you guys buying our games and bringing them here to Expo and having fun with them that we can, you know, you talk about Batman being 50 years old, the TV show, people still watching it. Well, that's where we are with pinball, too, that these games keep on coming back. We see our old games at Expo. And, you know, it's really heartwarming that, you know, after so many years that you guys still care. So let's go one more slide. So there's Neil, who's Neil Falconer, in Joe's Viper with Viper Night driving at the booth. Neil's no longer with us. You know, wish he was here. Really miss Neil. But he did a great job on a lot of games. Let's go next. So here we go. So South Park was kind of an interesting game in that it was Joe's last game at Sega, and it was my last game at Sega, that we both went on to other things. But, you know, we made a great game, and it was a game that changed the industry, that Gary could come back and say, you know, "We're going to make more South Parks." It's like, oh, my God, there's only two games that they've made more of. 8-Ball Deluxe and Addams Family, but change the business. You could go ahead and make a run of 250 or 500 or how many games and keep things going that wouldn't lose this investment, this wonderful intellectual property. And, you know, South Park was what started that. So it was great to be part of it. And, you know, I got to come back after I left, do a couple more games, did Striker, did NFL. If you take one more step to the last image, I think. Got to do Playboy, which was a great project that Lonnie would work on the dots from 9 to 5. He'd email them to me in North Carolina. I'd work on them from 7 until 1 a.m. and mail them back. We did it for about a month, and we got a game done. So it was sort of like the, you know, the nine women getting to have a baby, working on it all in 1 month. But we made it happen, and it was great. So, you know, I just want to thank all you guys for being here at Expo. I want to thank Joe. I want to thank Gary. I want to thank Rob and Mike for putting on another show. All the folks who are here, and you know, Joe giving me a chance to help out Kapow and really be a part of this weekend for you guys. So thanks very much.
Good.
He reminded me of two very quick stories I'll share with you because this is a quick pinball lore. You know, when a company starts to finally do well, and Shelley, you remember this, you know, you want to try and share with your employees. You know, Eugene, you've done this before. You want to try and, you know, figure out a way to reward or do extra nice things. So one of the greatest ideas that Gary ever had was, it was like our second or third year. We finally made a dollar's profit around Phantom of the Opera. It was Thanksgiving was coming up. We said, we have this amazing idea. We're going to give our employees turkeys. And we really did. That day, we had this truck come in with 35-pound turkeys. Now, our average worker who you saw on the line the other day probably weighs about 85 pounds, 100 pounds. And Gary and I decided that we would unload these trucks and do the congratulations, thank you, we're going to give each one of you a turkey. Now, has anybody ever picked up a 35-pound turkey? Hands up. Hands up. Can you imagine doing this with a 35-pound turkey 500 times? And then they are walking down to the bus stop, dragging the turkey in the ice behind them. The next year, we gave them coupons for turkeys. You learn things in business. Lonnie had one of the greatest interviews ever. I won't use the person's name, but Lonnie is unique. Lonnie, he wants to understand the psyche of an employee before you hire them. And we're out with this employee. This person flew in from Cornell. Very good computer school. And Lonnie goes, tell me, what is the one thing you have done that no one else has ever done? Now, this person is 22 years old. They've probably done nothing. But Lonnie goes, I want you to tell me the one thing you have done that no one has ever done. And this employee, this person trying to become an employee, thinks very carefully. And he gains the strength and the voice. And he goes, well, I went behind a dumpster once at a Pizza Hut with a hooker and she stole my wallet. Lonnie is mortified and I said, you are hired! True story. Shit like that really does happen in pinball. Anyway, Rob, I'm going to turn it over to you for other festivities this evening. But it's been a whole lot of fun talking about all of this. And Orin, thanks for taking the time. And Jim, also for getting all these pictures of that little walk down memory lane. And I will be starting my diet on Monday. So thank you.